Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And in the Old Testament, when it describes the last days in Malachi, we read that, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers." Now, in the LDS Church, we value family history work as one of our great responsibilities to learn about our ancestors, where we came from, and to help save them by doing special work in temples if it is needed. And while many people are faithful in doing this work, some just haven't quite caught the vision of why this work is so important. And Scott Fisher is the host of the Mormon Channel genealogy podcast, Extreme Genes, and he's here with us today to talk about his experiences with family history. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Charlotte.
So how did you first get interested in the subject of genealogy?
You know, I think it's because my parents were both great storytellers, and my grandfather and my mother's side in particular. I mean, they were just tremendous storytellers. And so when we would get together with them and we would have a reunion, boy, the stories were flying all over the place, and we loved to hear what they had to say. Mm-hmm. And I think I inherited a little bit of that. And as a result, I was just astonished by some of the things they talked about that happened so long before I was born. And so I always had an interest in it. But like most young people, it's just something that's always around you until suddenly something pulls on you and you want to start digging into it. So I was 26 when I started actually actively researching the family.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that bug or that spirit of Elijah just bites you, and you associate with a lot of people who are really interested in this work. But why do you think some people have caught that spirit and have understood that this is important to do, and others are still kind of, what's genealogy? It sounds like something old people do.
Well, I think it has to do with age, because of the fact that most young people, you think about it, for their first 20, 25 years, may not have lost anybody. They still have their grandparents. They still have their aunts and uncles. And so until you've actually lost somebody, there's no one really to miss. And what stories might there be? So, you know, that's really the challenge. And what I try to get people to do is understand, hey, when somebody dies, a library is burned and mm-hmm. you lose all those stories. And so I like to encourage people to go out. My wife and I started out very early. We used an old cassette recorder and we'd record all the old folks in the family, and they'd be gone within a year or so. And that actually created a situation where people didn't want to talk to us anymore.
Right. It's a bad omen.
But the stories that we gathered from them were absolutely incredible, things that went back to the turn of the century. My grandfather talked about first time he saw an airplane come to Utah, which was in 1910. And getting these firsthand accounts of these historic things is just a treasure to have. And you feel you really know them. He died when I was only 20 years old. That was one of the reasons I really got into it, was that by the time I was 21, I had lost all my grandparents. My father had passed. I'd lost a brother. I'd lost two uncles and a best friend. Mm. And so by the time I got married and started having my own kids, I wanted to know, wait a minute, who were these people? What's their stories? And so we would interview widows and people who had known them, and I'd track down folks. My dad was a well-known musician, so we tracked down former bandmates and found out about things that I didn't know about him from back in the 20s and 30s, because mm-hmm. he had me rather late. And so that has just been a joy in my life.
Just recently, within the last year or two, I've sort of been caught up in family history work and been really interested in doing more of it. And I think it started for me when I moved to Salt Lake City, not being from here, being from the Chicago area, coming out here and finding out all these wonderful things that my ancestors lived just down the street in the Lion House. And I could go walk to the Salt Lake Cemetery and see all these people. And even though, and I think sometimes in the LDS Church, people think, well, if all their temple work's been done, then what's the point of looking up who they were? But you can still learn about them, and you can learn who they were and who they were married to, who they lived with, and all these incredible anecdotes that I didn't know before. I just thought, oh, if they're baptized, I don't need to worry about them. Speaking as a millennial, to anyone who's listening, it is a lot of fun to do once you get into it.
And this gets back to the whole thing with Malachi about turning the heart of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. You know, it's not just the temple work. It's the bonding that we feel with these people as we get to know them. And I know my father better now than when he was living. He died when I was 17 years old. But I've also learned to appreciate history and how my people kind of fit into that, because I was born in the East. Mm-hmm. And my mother was born in the West. My dad was from the East. But I also have a group of recent immigrants. So we have those coming in from Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. So we have everything back to the Mayflower, to recent immigrants, West Coast, East Coast, American history, foreign history. And it all kind of ties in, and you start to find out the whos and whys people did what they did. Why did they leave Sweden and come to the United States? Why did somebody fight for the cause? And what did they do? What was their sacrifice for the country and the freedom that we enjoy here in the United States now? It's very enriching that way, in ways that you can't even imagine. But I will say, a lot of folks think it's easy to do. And I would only say, no, it's not easy. It's easier than it used to be. And there are a lot of ways you can get going on it. And I'll tell you, once you get that first experience and you have that first miracle happen, finding things that you just couldn't even imagine were there, then you're kind of hooked.
What are some convenient ways that a millennial might start to get involved in family history work? They're working, they're in school, they've got all these other things going on. What are some ways they can start incorporating family history work into their lives?
Well, I would start with the holidays, for instance. That's when everybody gathers, right? Get out your cell phone or get a recorder specifically for it and interview people. Talk to them about it. Think about it a little bit ahead of time. Write down some questions, simple stuff. You know, how did you meet grandma, grandpa?
Right.
You know, where were you from before this? Where did you go to school? There are a lot of questions that you're going to wish you had asked when their time is gone and you don't have them anymore. And your children somewhere down the line are going to ask you, well, what about your grandpa? What about your grandma? Well, I didn't know them that well. And you're going to regret that opportunity that you had. And it's so much fun. And then you can share that audio or you can create a video. You can certainly record them, you know, with video on your cell phone and save that and post it someplace to preserve or share with your family.
Or give it to them as a gift.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they'd treasure it.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. I've got recordings that go back now. The earliest voice recording I have goes back 59 years. And some others that go back 45, 46 years. I've got myself as a 4-year-old on a tape. And it's really fun, you know, to listen to that. And my grandchildren get a kick out of hearing the idea that
4-year-old grandpa,
their pop-pop was once a little kid like they were.
Uh-huh.
Well, and that's the thing. Once you start getting a little taste of that, you want more of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I've now, over my 35 years of doing this, I've written 11 books about our family, my wife's side, my side, grandpa's wow. side, grandma's side, and different branches. And it's been a joy, because you figure at the end, who are we to be deserving of being remembered if we don't remember those who came before us?
That's a really good point. How has your personal faith been affected by doing this work?
Oh, a lot of ways. First of all, as I mentioned, getting to know people who I didn't know. For instance, my father's father died when I was 1 year and 9 months.
Hmm.
But I think I have some memories, because I was reminded about them a lot, and there's still photographs of us. So I think sometimes we have memories of memories, if you know what I'm saying. And I know some of the things that he overcame, that he was a transitional figure in our family, because his father created a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, humiliations and things along these lines. But even going back and finding those who stumbled in their lives, you learn so much from them. In fact, they've discovered through studies now that a lot of children and teens do so much better in coping with the challenges in life when they know their family's stories. This study has actually shown that there's certain types of patterns that are in a story that are particularly effective in helping somebody to grow and understand how you manage challenges, difficulties, disappointments, all those things. And that pattern would be someone has a success and then has a failure and has to overcome that, and then has another success and then has another failure and has to overcome that. Much better than, say, just those who grew to certain levels or heights or of achievement or whatever it may be, and you never hear about the challenges they faced.
Right. You just hear the highlight reel.
You hear the highlight reel, and you might think, oh, well, I can never be like that. I'm a failure, because look at what they did and they stayed there. And I've done this and then fell back. But those stories about those people who overcame a lot of things, those make a huge difference in how people are able to manage their lives moving forward. So there's a great practical reason for genealogy.
Wow. And that's so hopeful, too, to just think, okay, if my grandmother overcame all of these trials and hardships, then there's hope for me. I can do that, too.
That's the whole point. And then you can fill in some of the blanks. We find the records and it states a fact. Here's his age or here's his occupation, but it doesn't tell you why. But you start to gather enough of that material, you start to get the picture of a complete human being and what motivated them. And that's a really interesting thing to know because you're part of them.
And obviously the family is extremely important to in Christianity, to our faith. How do you think doing family history helps people also draw closer to the Savior Jesus Christ?
Well, it's certainly fulfilling the mission that he gave us to accomplish this work. You know, when you think of how few people in the history of the world had ever heard of Christ, how few in comparison out of that have ever had the opportunity to receive those saving ordinances.
Right.
And so for us to have that privilege of having all these tools now to go about doing this work, it's incredible.
And make their sacrifice and their sufferings mean something.
That's right.
To them. And I think that's something they'll be eternally grateful for, too. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your thoughts on family history work with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Charlotte.
Absolutely. So to learn more tips about doing your own family history work, be sure to check out Scott's weekly podcast, Extreme Genes, on mormonchannel.org. And we're going to close today with a quote from LDS Apostle Elder Quinton L. Cook. And he said, "Temple and family history work is not just about us. Think of those on the other side of the veil, waiting for the saving ordinances that would free them from the bondage of spirit prison. Prison is defined as a state of confinement or captivity. Those in captivity might be asking, now what? Jesus Christ gave his life as a vicarious atonement. He overcame death for all mankind, which we could not do for ourselves. We can, however, perform vicarious ordinances in temples and truly become saviors on Mount Zion for our own families in order that we, with them, might be exalted as well as saved." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.